There we go. Could I have everybody who went on this team or who worked in the background, like Evelina, please stand for this Mexico Mission Group? Before we give them an applause, let me just tell you that Jeff and I just appreciate your faithfulness. But you know who appreciates your faithfulness the most? Let's give them a hand. Well, did anybody come here today praying, longing that someone would sing something or say something or pray something or preach something that would take all your hope away? That would discourage you, that would just knock the wind right out of your sails? No, I'd be willing to bet nobody came here that way today. We came here looking for just the opposite, didn't we? We came here looking for hope and encouragement. We came here to be just filled with God's Word and to let that Word motivate us. Now, if I told you that there was a secret that would allow you to have that kind of hope, would you want to know what it is? You see, in a world that we live in right now that's filled with a lot of hopelessness and discouragement, defeat, if I could tell you a way that you could not lose heart, even in the face of that discouragement, would you want to hear it? Now, if you wouldn't, you're free to leave. Okay? But if you would, stick around. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." In today's text, Paul tells us that he has found the key to staying encouraged in the Lord. In verse 16, Paul says, "So we don't lose heart." You see, Paul knows the key, the secret to not losing heart, and I think he's sharing it with us in this passage. So I want to spend some time in these verses today and some other verses that Paul talks about. And I want to preach on that thought about do not lose heart. Okay. You see, if you're interested in being encouraged, motivated, having hope in the Lord, this scripture has got something special to say to you. So we don't lose heart. You know, that's an incredible statement. Paul is telling us that regardless of what comes his way, he doesn't give up, he doesn't give in, he doesn't give out, he doesn't lose heart. It's kind of easy to lose heart and be discouraged, isn't it? It's easy to come to a place where you're ready to throw in the towel and lay down your burden and quit. It seems to me, just from reading what the Bible says about the life of Paul, it would have been very easy for him to lose heart. And yet he says, so we don't lose heart. That little phrase is in the present tense, in an active voice. Paul's making a simple statement of fact. He has discovered a spiritual secret that enables him to be encouraged even in the midst of circumstances that would have discouraged most everyone else. Paul's life was everything but easy. In 2 Corinthians, he tells us, "For we do not want you to be aware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despised of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And in 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 29, Paul says, "Are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one. And yet I'm talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger from city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. In toil and in hardship, though many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak? I am not weak. Who is made to fall? And I am not indignant. Yet in spite of all those trials, tribulations, and burdens, Paul is able to say, I do not lose heart. Is there anyone here that can thoroughly echo that statement? Is there anyone who can say, I never get discouraged? I never want to give up. I'm always encouraged, excited, energized about my life and with my walk with the Lord? Probably none of us here can say that. We all stumble, and sometimes from discouragement to discouragement. We all want to quit from time to time. We all want to just stop and give no more because we feel we've given everything we can. Most of us are like David, who said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest." I think if we're honest with ourselves, we'd have to admit there's times that we'd like to sprout a pair of wings and fly away from the situation that we're in. And while there are times when leaving troubles and afflictions behind seem like the best option, I'm more interested in reaching a place where I can say like Paul did, so I don't lose heart. See, I believe that that place is available for every one of God's children. And I believe that place is available for you. It's kind of easy to lose heart at times. Paul identifies a common struggle that we all face. Paul says that though our outer self is wasting away, the reason it's so easy to lose heart sometimes is because the outer self, the outer man, is perishing. And the outer self not only indicates our fleshly body, but our mind too. The result of aging in the body and sin conspires to strip away the joy, the hope, our peace of heart, our peace of mind. And that word wasting, that means to rot, to ruin, to corrupt, to be destroyed. I mean, the word destroyed seems to me to intensely fulfill the meaning here. That same word is used in other very important verses in Scripture. And there's a verse that really drives home the power of this thought. Revelation 8:8-9. The second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. The Bible tells us here that God will cast a great stone into the sea, and a third of the world's ships will be capsized, destroyed, consumed. It's the same word. See, every day the outer man, Our bodies are being destroyed by aging, by pain, by problems, by burden, by trials that are thrown against us. One of the reasons we're so prone to lose heart is because our outer man is being corrupted and ruined every day. Now, the destruction of that outer man comes from two major sources. The first is a fallen nature. The whole world is under the curse of God because of sin. The world is under a curse of futility and pain, suffering, corruption, and death. In Romans 8, verses 22 and 23, it says, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of sons, the redemption of our bodies." Just to remind you, God saves His children in stages, not all at once. Don't misunderstand me. We are already saved. We are forgiven and justified because of what Jesus did for us on the cross and because of the empty tomb. We are forgiven and justified because of what Jesus did, nothing that we did. When we come to Him in faith and repentance, He eternally saves us from the penalty of our sins. But yet, we are not totally free from corruption and death yet. Everyone, everyone in this room, saved or lost, is going to waste away and die if Jesus doesn't come first. You know, we might die of old age, just slip right out into eternity in our sleep. We could die as a young child or a young adult. We might have a sudden heart attack. We might get cancer and slowly waste away. We could be consumed by Alzheimer's. We could die suddenly in a car wreck or be struck by lightning. We could leave this world in any of 10,000 different ways, but if Jesus doesn't return first, we will all die. The outer self is perishing, and God does not promise us tomorrow. That could be at any moment. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, it reminds us that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That is, we all live out our days in fragile jars of clay. And I actually need to go back. One day the vessel's going to crack. It's going to break and it's going to fade away. That's the nature of living in a fallen world. That's the nature of life. The outer self is perishing. We're in the process of being destroyed. And the problems with this destruction can cause us to lose heart. Another element in this world that causes us to lose heart is other people. If a fallen nature doesn't get us, a fallen world is going to. The foolishness of a fallen man that causes him to get drunk and drive his car and kill another person. The fallen nature that leads people to strap bombs on their bodies and go into malls and schools and churches and kill people needlessly, innocent people. Fallen people let us down. Fallen people can hurt us in many ways. They can hurt our feelings. They can hurt us physically, verbally. They can abuse us. They can cause us to lose heart. And I think that was Paul's experience too. It has not changed. There are many who believe that it has intensified. In 2 Corinthians 4:8 through 10, it says, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. In our experience, it's very easy to lose heart, especially when people turn against you or they quit on you. Sometimes it brings you to that place where you want to quit. But you don't have to. You do not have to be defeated. You don't have to be a statistic or one of those people who used to walk with God, who used to be faithful. You can reach a place where you do not lose heart. You can reach a place where you can press on in spite of what presses you down. You can echo this incredible statement of the Apostle Paul, which says, "For which cause we faint not, though our outer man perish." What we all need is to come to that same place that Paul did. See, I want to reach that place. I want to reach that place where, though our outer man perishes, I faint not. I want to come to the place where, even though I'm attacked from without and from within by a fallen nature and a fallen world, that I don't lose heart. I want to come to the place where, regardless of what's going on around me, that I remain faithful and strong. Not losing heart involves three important realizations. Every day, the mind, the body are attacked by the effects of age, sin, and sinners. And the result of those attacks on the outer man causes us to be perishing. The natural man, which includes the body and the mind, is dying every day. Yet, isn't it amazing, when we were young, we thought we were invincible. In verse 10, Paul reminds us that though the outer sin is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. The word renew means to renovate. We're given strength for every day. Every day we experience heartbreak, sorrow, pain, problems, the effects of the curse of a fallen and sinful world. And every day we endure those problems, endure a world that is attended with sin and sinners. Things we see, hear, feel, experience all work against us because the world and Satan would like to cause us to lose heart. They'd like us to be discouraged. The outward man is continually being destroyed right before our eyes. I think we can all relate to that a little bit. While the outward man grows weaker and nearer to the grave, this affliction is preparing us for eternal glory. While every day brings with it its unique problems, it also comes with a measure of grace from the hands of the Father in heaven. Here is one of God's great encouragements from Lamentation. And if you have your Bible, this is a scripture that I would put a little star, or I'd highlight it, or I'd put some brackets around this scripture from Lamentations 3, 21 through 24. It's really one we should all memorize. "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him." Back in 1923, Thomas Chisholm wrote a poem. Wrote a poem about God's faithfulness, especially his faithfulness that had been displayed to him over his lifetime. And he sent that to his friend William Runyon in Kansas, who was affiliated with Moody Bible Institute and Hope Publishing. Runyon took that poem and he set it to music. It was published that same year. The biblical lyrics are a reference to Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. And that song was so widely exposed to Christians in the churches that it became extremely popular. In fact, Billy Graham used it quite frequently in all of his international crusades. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. We all know that song. You see, the inner being is being renewed every day. But you know, that's not a one-time thing that we can drink of today and it's like a miracle elixir and we're renewed. It's something that we have to do every day. The Lord offers us a fountain that we can drink of every day. And He promises that the inner self will be renewed, refreshed, even while the outer man grows weaker and weaker. The inner man needs to be renewed by fresh fuel, fresh food every day. What does that mean? It means that you need to feed on the Word of God every day. Every day you need a fresh supply of the living water. In 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18, it says, "Remember, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." There are some strong applications in this message. One of those applications is that we need to live in the truth of who we are in Jesus Christ. You see, we're pilgrims. We're sojourners here. We're traveling through on our way to our real home. Along the way, Satan and the world are going to try to make us become disillusioned, defeated, discouraged. But we do not have to lose heart. God can and will help you make this journey home with glory in your soul. But for Him to do that, you now have a responsibility. You must keep your eyes on Him and not on what the enemy would have you see. You must stay focused on the cross of Christ and the price that was paid for you. You must stay focused on the fact that He will renew you from day to day. You must stay focused on that His mercies are new to you every morning. God has given us all we need for life, all we need for eternal life. God has given us in this Word, this living water, everything we need to keep our spirits renewed, that we would not lose heart. Okay. Gary.
Thank you, Pastor Chuck. We do serve a faithful God, as we talked before. That Lamentations verse in chapter 3 is so true. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Never is kind of one of those things that says, well, you know, we can't even bring sometimes into that. It's never, all right? He is faithful to the end. To the end with everything that we do. So let's stand, shall we, and we'll sing, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases."
steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness.
One more time.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness.
Amen. You know, as we dismiss this morning, I'd like to also, Chuck, come on up. We'll have a prayer. But just as a reminder, as we have in the past, if there are any of you, you know, the love of the Lord never ceases. And we are to minister to each other. And if there be any of us here today that have a need, please come forward. We will have some people here that would love to just pray with you for a solution, for goodness, for just to come alongside of you, whatever you're dealing with, it be financial, emotional, relational, whatever it is. That's what we're called to do as Christians, is to not live in this little world of our own making, but to also to be, just as we saw in the Mexico trip, to reach to others who have needs. So please do that this morning. If you do have a need, we'd love to have you up here and be able to pray with you. Chuck.
Heavenly Father, as we come before you at the close of this service, we're reminded that you are our strength. And in our own strength, we will only fall. Nothing surprises you. Everything that we go through, every trial, you're there. You walk with us every step of the way. Your word gives us power and strength so that we do not lose heart. We rely on the promises that you have given. Lord, as we go from this place, I just pray that you will touch us each and give us that encouragement that only your Holy Spirit can do. Give us wisdom and discernment in all things. Lord, help us reflect your love to everyone we can. In my heart, Lord, I feel the time is getting close. The time for you to return and take your children home. And Lord, it would be my prayer that all of us would be bold in sharing your word, in sharing that hope that we have. Lord, as we go here, I ask you to bless each person here, to shine your face upon them and to give them strength and hope for this coming week. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.